Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you have joined us today. We know that there is definitely a word from the Lord, and we're looking forward to sharing with you. But before I go any further, let Prophetess Crystal give us our announcements and lead us in our prayer, Prophetess.
God bless you, everyone. In the way of announcements this evening, letting you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. We invite you there. And we also ask that you would pray about becoming a prayer partner and a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to push and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Also on our website, if you would like Apostle or myself to come minister at your church, go to our contact page and leave as much detailed information as you can, a good contact number, as well as a good email address, and someone will get in touch with you within 12 to 24 hours. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny also has a Facebook page. We invite you to our pages. We ask that you would like us there. Not only that, but please send us your prayer requests as well as your praise reports so that someone can touch and agree with you concerning the will of God in your life, and watching him do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Those are our announcements for today. Let us go into prayer. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we come. We come thanking you, praising you, glorifying you, lifting up our hands and our hearts unto you. Father, we bow before you and we humble ourselves this evening. Lord, we ask that you would just begin to search our hearts and our minds. Before we even begin, Father, we ask for forgiveness right now. Wash us and cleanse us in your blood. Wash us from all iniquity, God. Cleanse our hearts and our minds. Purify us by the blood of Jesus. Father, make us whole in you. Purify our hands and our hearts, that when we lift them up before you, that you would just see the blood. When we open up our mouth to give you praise, you would just see your image, your likeness, and the blood. Now, God, as we begin to embark upon tonight's study, we ask that we invite your presence in. We ask that you administer to each and every one that is under the sound of Apostle's voice, that their ears would be open and attuned to the Spirit and hear what you have to say. Lead us and guide us in the ways of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, Father, right now, we ask that this word will begin to just set us on fire, enlighten our hearts, put us on the street called straight. Father, open up closed doors. Open up our ears that we may hear, our eyes that we may see, that we may move forward in the things of you in Jesus' name. Father, we bind up every hindering spirit. We bind up every spirit that is not like you. God, we just say, take it out, come in, have your way. Let us move in the anointing and in your power, all the while giving your name praise and glory. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. We are enjoying a little rest. It's been a busy 2 weeks here. Amen. This past week, we were in Jacksonville with some young people for a leadership institute. And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you can see young people who are excited about tomorrow. Too often we run into people who are alive for today, but they don't really think about their tomorrow, you know. So when you run into young people who have a heart, a desire, a drive to see better things in their tomorrow, it's refreshing. And we made a lot of friends there. Amen. We're excited about what God is doing in the lives of his people. Now, today I want to really get into this word here. And I believe that there's some issues that we need to really look at and address. I'm asking the Holy Spirit for clarity in which way he wants me to address and move forward with this. But what we're seeing is so many things in the world have been contaminated, if you will. People want what the Bible has. They want this feeling of coming together. But they've already made up in their minds that they don't want God.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that the real concern here is that when you forsake your God, a nation that knows not their God, it's going to have a hard time dealing with life, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I was reading an article, and it was talking about these atheist churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to know, one of the main things that we as Christians have to pay attention to is simply the fact that while we have been infighting, while we have been trying to figure out who's better, trying to qualify for the Preachers of L.A. Season 2 or whatever it is in your hometown. While we have been doing all of those things, we have left the preaching of the gospel and started trying to become anything but pastors. You've heard me say this before, motivational speakers in the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
We have...
Amen.
Motivational speakers, life coaches. We have those type of people who are standing in pulpits. And if you're not careful, what you'll do is you'll believe that this is the best thing in the world. And it's something that we should be looking forward to. Well, no, we shouldn't be looking forward to this. We have been silent and we have been blind too long. And you say, no, I can see in the spirit. God speaks to me a lot, and he tells me this and he tells me that. Yeah, he does. Uh-huh. But then there's the other side of this, and that is that while he's speaking to you, have you really moved with what God has said? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times he's speaking, but because it doesn't tell us of our greatness, it doesn't tell us how wonderful we are, it doesn't give us our attaboys and pat us on our back, we don't think that that's God. We think those are haters.
Yeah, we do.
And when God begins to give us word, we have to look at the word. And that word is what corrects us. Amen. And what we find is that people have now began to meet, you know, on Sunday mornings. But they're called atheist churches.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? So if you look at this, we have churches where people are coming together, and that look at this, atheist mega churches. Reading from an article, it says a new type of church is springing up these days, but these aren't your run-of-the-mill churches. Sure, you got people congregating on Sunday morning as well as participating in a lot of other things that are part of your average Christian church service. However, these new churches that are popping up aren't worshiping Jesus Christ, nor do they care about any other religion, as these are atheist churches. Mm-hmm. This probably sounds like a joke. After all, you don't often hear atheists and church put together. So far, these atheist mega churches have popped up throughout the United States, in Canada, in the U.S., in California, Tennessee, and New York. The people who attend essentially want a lot of things a traditional church offers. Listen now, but without the religion.
Mm-hmm.
The people who attend enjoy each other's company, music, come up with ideals to serve the community, and more. And like traditional churches, the atheist churches take up money. So it seems like it's very interesting that a lot of people don't want to go to church because every time they go to church, someone's talking about money. But even at the atheist church, where they don't believe in God, they take up offerings. Okay. Because they realize that, you know, in order for us to come together and support this, we have to raise the money.
It takes money to push a vision.
That's right. It takes money to push a vision. So, you know, there are people out there who said, well, I'm not going over here because every time I go, you know, they're talking about money and everybody always got needs. I got some needs too. Yes, we know you have needs, because as soon as you have a need, you come and see the pastor. And the pastor has to look at you and hear your story of why this time, you know, you had everything worked out, but it didn't come to fruition. Here we are, again, you know, back at the benevolence board. Amen? Mm-hmm. And isn't it interesting that the people sometimes who come, I could say almost a lot of time that come, are the people who don't really sow into the ministry to begin with. Yeah. They walk off the street, and because you're a church, they know you're Christian, they come with the story, and they put on the worst clothes so they look like they ain't got nothing. And here they come. Oh, woe is me, help. And, you know, I'm so glad that God has given us the ability to do what we do. We can actually get in and help out and, you know, do some things. But these churches are on the rise.
Yeah, they are.
And I don't think that we as Christians have taken that into consideration. Mm-hmm. We've been so busy infighting and trying to make sure everybody know that, you know, we doing this and we doing that, and that you see when I put on my show and when I did this. And I mean, it's so self-centered that we are missing God. We're missing God badly. And when we aren't on our post, it leaves it open for the devil and for Satan and his kingdom to be on his post. I don't think we understand that he doesn't take a break because you get tired. The Bible tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing. Okay? Well, see, some of us have got the well-doing thing down, but we haven't got the spiritual side to it together yet. Amen. So then as we're here and we're looking at all this atheistic and agnostic worship, they're taking again now something else that was Christian and they're making it something that they can utilize for their own good. During this conference that I was in, we had debates that were going on, and one of the debates was gay and lesbian rights. And one of the young men said, listen, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to tell you like this. God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve, and he sanctioned marriage between a male and a female. And, of course, you know, in a debate setting, there's pros and there are cons.
Mm-hmm.
So you have someone to argue for, someone to argue against. What his stance for was, God made it this way, and that's just the way it's going to be. And the person, on the other side simply, what's the big deal? We want rights, and we want to be able to have spousal rights and parental rights and everything else. My sexual orientation shouldn't have anything to do with that. Why do you feel threatened by marriage? And I think when we start looking at that, marriage being a Christian thing, it's from the Bible. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's something that is in the Bible, which also speaks against homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And for everyone who tries to come up with a reason why Sodom and Gomorrah, or why effeminate, and if a man lies with a woman, as with a man, in Leviticus, Romans 1st chapter, for example. In different places in the Bible where we deal with homosexuality, we don't think that really meant homosexual. We think that it was a different kind of perversion. I don't care how you try to explain
perversion,
it away. When in Leviticus, when it goes to males laying with another man as he would with a woman, they're not talking about sleeping and playing tiddlywinks. Mm-hmm. Amen. They're talking about relations. They're talking about the very act. The sinful act that they're committing. So now, if you're that much against the Bible and this interpretation of your sinful act, why do you want to also have or try to switch the meaning of marriage? See, we miss so many things because the standard that should be held, we don't look at that standard for nothing because it doesn't say anything about my car, my house, my bank account, my enemies being put up under my feet. But see, that's where the enemy has come into the body of Christ and has taken us and ran with it, the opposite direction of the Word of God. So when people come to look to see what the Word of God is, when they come to see, look and see what it is that we hold up as a standard, what is the standard of holiness? What is the standard of Christ? What is the standard of the kingdom of God? They can't find the definition of it because too many people have too many different interpretations of what the Word of God says. And all you have to do is read the Word. This isn't what I feel. This is what it says. Amen, somebody.
It goes back to the days of...
Go ahead, Prophet.
I was just talking to a prophet. I said it goes back to the days of the garden when mm-hmm. the serpent was talking to Eve. And he told her, he said, have not God said?
Yeah.
And too often, we're still, that spirit is still in operation today. Because people are still, well, God really didn't say. Even though Eve knew verbatim what God said,
yeah.
what the standard was, what her requirements were. And yet she allowed the serpent to try to give her a different interpretation or pose a question. She allowed him to ask her a question, and then it began to develop a thought. And today we have so many people with their own opinion and feel very righteous in that opinion. And then now we have a world or society built upon opinions, doctrines, and feelings instead of what has been written according to the Word of God.
Yes.
It's everybody's interpretation. Well, this is what I believe. This is how I feel about it.
That's
so therefore, it must be right.
You know, the Bible says very clearly that every man's ways is correct or right in his own eyes. And if we don't balance what we think and what we see by the Word of God, then we'll all have a perception, we'll all have opinion, but none of us will be in walking the way that God designed us to. See, you hear us talk about this all the time. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. You hear it, but then there's what you want to interpret that as.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've interpreted marriage to make it legal, you know, by law that you can male marry male, female marry female.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it tears away at foundational things. We don't even understand the bigger picture of what's going on because you are so busy fixated on your stuff that you don't have time to deal with the strategy of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the strategy of the enemy, thank God for apostles and prophets and those that God will open up their eyes so that they can see what the enemy's doing. When you begin to see the strategy of the devil, of the enemy, then you learn and you know how to move so that you can safeguard the body of Christ. Preach.
Yeah.
Cry out loud. Spare not. I'm reminded of Jeremiah who prophesied in the streets and got his yoke upon his neck that he carried around. And no matter that he was not popular because it was not the word that they wanted to hear.
Right.
After all, God had delivered us. After all, God had saved us. God had always lifted up a savior for us, a champion for us. Why should we serve him? We don't feel like serving him and doing all of that, you know. So here you have the king of Babylon coming, and as he's coming, he's devouring up the earth. And Jeremiah is prophesying now and telling the people, listen, God said that it's not going to go well for you.
Hmm.
You know, repent, throw yourself at the mercy of God, and the people didn't want to repent. It got to a point where God said, don't bring these people to me no more. Don't come interceding and crying out for these people no more. They are going into the exile. We know that the Babylonian exile did occur, amen? And as they were there, you know, it wasn't popular for him to preach an unadulterated gospel. I think what we have now is we have too many people trying to be popular. So you're preaching a gospel that you feel will make you popular.
Mm-hmm.
All the time while you're preaching that, you're not preaching the Word of God. And while you're not preaching the Word of God, somebody just died and went to hell.
Wow.
And when they died and went to hell, you know,
your thing was, well, you know, the Lord God giveth, the Lord God taketh away. How about you should have been crying loud and spared not? This was not about you and your new house, your new car. We had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they were speaking about the preachers of L.A. Mm-hmm. You know, here it is, a spectacle in the earth. People are looking at it. People are talking about it. You know, and the people, some people say, well, I watch it because I think that this is what they really be doing. You know, I always thought this. In other words, I have a perception that is validated. And here's a few people who are just doing their thing. And while they're doing their thing, that, you know, everyone in Christianity is being judged by the actions of these few.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I don't know a preacher who's really sitting back on, amen, this is how it is.
Mm-mm.
I don't know not one of my peers that's saying that. You know, all of us is talking about the fact that they were lured in by the promise of money and fame and everything else. And I will say this, that there are still men and women who are walking around trying to get, you know, that next level of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so focused on that, that, you know, that's all they think about, that next level of wealth. Oh, I'm about to get it, Doc. I'm about to go get it. Okay, you're about to go get it, Doc. Okay. All right. And what about what did God say?
Yeah.
See, when you're so focused on that wealth and that prosperity, you won't even think about God. Well, I'm quite sure God's going to give me favor here. I'm serving him. Are you really serving him? It sounds like a lot of self-serving going on. See, this mortgage board, this all-you-can-eat gospel that's going on here has not been anything that God has designed.
Mm.
This has been everything that man has come up with and hope that God will go ahead and wink at. But I'm here to tell you, as an apostle of the Most High God, he's not winking.
That's the truth.
See, while we're worried about all of that, the opposition, atheist churches are rising up. Every other Gnostic form of Christianity is rising up and taking a hold of lives and leading them away with lies and fairy tales and mm-hmm. all kind of misconstrued truths.
Yes, yes.
Taking the truth of the word of God and twisting it to make it seem like that's what the word is really saying. And when we know that all that's going on is just like the Bible said with Eve, hath not God said, that they're doing the same thing. Hath not God said. They're interpreting that. Taking that word, running off. And heaving unto themselves, you know, those who will follow after them. They're not even thinking about God. See, and when we aren't on our posts, then there's no one to cry out about this.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy of our souls is sitting back saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm going to send somebody else over there. And you know, we know that they're not walking correctly because they can't sit up under ministry for nothing.
That's true, sir.
But here they're going to get a revelation, and two or three people going to follow after it, and they're going to start the worldwide tour ministry to go tell everybody what God has said to them and tell people that they need to come under the submission of the auspices of God, and as he has given them the wisdom and the knowledge to lead them to prosperity and wealth. And people are running after him because everybody's getting hands laid on them and prophesy that your car is coming within the next 2 weeks. God said, you've been waiting on it, you've been saving. Oh, yeah, I have been saving. Well, and your car, your dream car, don't be going to get nothing small. Get what you want, because this is what God said. And people are pulling up in Cadillacs and Lexuses and Mercedes and everything else, but they're driving that same car over to a project house, Section 8. You know, they're driving it somewhere where they can't afford to stay. See, the devil has got a lot of people fooled into thinking that because you got a car, that was God's will for your life. When God leads you into fullness or wholeness, amen? Huh? And that's how he does it. Amen? Look what it says here. Let's go to a scripture right here, right quick. Amen. Lord Jesus, help us. I am so full today. You know, when you see a lot and it just begins to touch, you know, you cry out for the people. And the enemy lets you think that, you know, everything is well, when he knows that you're dying spiritually. And we got to become more aware of the tactics of the enemy. Amen, somebody. Deuteronomy 8. Let's go down to the 18th verse. Amen. Reading from the New King James Version, it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power, him, he gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be that if by any means, listen now, that if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve him and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now let us sit here. We have to understand that America could be the mightiest nation on the earth, wealthiest nation on earth, things just left and right. And I think we can stop saying wealthiest since we owe so everybody much to so many people. Amen. But we still have a might here. Amen. And that might that we have allows us a certain level. But we can't walk around like we've done this ourselves. Mm-hmm. There's many a person, many a man, many a woman, many a boy, girl, that have prayed and asked God concerning certain things. And I'm quite sure the Lord has answered. We can testify to that. Amen. But look at this right here. It says, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. So when we're seeking money and things and materials and stuff, but we're trying to do away with God, mm-hmm. then that means that the wealth that you get is really it's just something that's fleeting. Yeah. How many times have you seen on TV a person who supposedly made a deal with the devil, and as soon as the deal comes to pass, a Ghost Rider. Yeah. I like the movie because of the graphics and everything, but it's the irony in it is that Johnny Blaze, uh-huh. makes a deal with the devil so that his father won't die of cancer.
Yeah.
Well, after the deal is made, his father dies. And when he comes to him, he says, time to pay up, Johnny. He said, wait, my father died. He said, yeah, but he didn't die of cancer. See, that's how the enemy does it. Always trying to trick.
Yeah.
Always trying to fool. And justifiably so. Because if you would simply do it like I said, do it. Mm-hmm. You would never have to worry about the enemy coming in and being able to trick you with your personal desire. Mm-hmm. See, when you start dealing with what you think you can do and the way you can get it, then you walk away from God. A lot of people that we speak to say, you know, I don't go to church because I'm tired of preachers always asking for money. Mm-hmm. But they'll go to this atheist church because they like the fact that it's there. And guess what? They ask for money.
Sure.
There's no place you can go. If you're going to go play or deal with your favorite football team, they're going to ask you for some money for a ticket.
Yep.
You're not just walking in and seeing the Miami Heat play without paying for a ticket. Mm-hmm. See, we have to understand that everything that is out here costs. There's a cost to it. And when people walk away from Christianity because the cost, they still go someplace and pay. You start paying for all that liquor. You start paying for all those bad mistakes and decisions you make while you are intoxicated. Waking up in the bed next to somebody that's not your spouse and looking at them saying, ooh, I don't believe I did that. I guess you did again. See? You wouldn't have to deal with that if you were simply trusting God. Simply learn how to believe him. Simply learn how to walk after him. So when it says here, it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. You have to understand that your prosperity and everything about you comes from God. God gives you the strength. God gives you the capacity. God helps you to think the plan through. God gives you the ability to calculate and invest today properly so you'll have a tomorrow harvest. You're not that smart. You don't hit on all cylinders like that all the time. And some people have a way with numbers, and even people who have a way with numbers know better than to bet on certain things. See, God gives us the ability to do this. Why does he do this? I'm so glad. Let's keep reading. That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. In other words, there's some things that are going to be a blessing to your life that God has already set up before time. Amen? And when he set it up for your benefit. And since he set it up for your benefit, he's going to make sure that it comes to pass at the right time. And we keep trying to get God to bless us ahead of time. But you're not ready for that ahead of time blessing because you refuse to mature up to the responsibility of the blessing. So when you learn how to grow up and mature, then God can release it into your hand and it won't lead you away from him. It'll bring you closer to him. When you want to get it before time, you'll go out and hook, crook, do everything you can to make it come to pass. And then after you get it, you'll say, you know, look at what God gave me. But see, those of us who are seasoned can see that this isn't God who gave it to you. Because God would not give you something that leads you away from him. And we know it's not him when you can't come to church on Sunday, when you can't make Bible study, when you can't make revival. When you can't make an usher board meeting or you can't make a choir rehearsal or anything else because you always out trying to take care of the fact that I got to take care of this house. I got to take care of this car. I got to take care. Listen, there's nothing the matter with having it, but don't prioritize it over the one that allowed you and gave you the strength, the capacity to get it, the favor to obtain it. Yeah. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. He's trying to establish his covenant with you. the other side of that, then it shall be that if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, that includes yourself, mm-hmm. and serve and worship them. We got to deal with this self-worship thing. And some people say, I love Jesus, but I love me more. And you loving you more leads you away from him, because he will challenge you on that. And when he challenges you, you have to be able to rise up to the occasion.
Amen.
Ain't that right, Prophet?
That's right. And the question is, can you rise to that occasion? That's an honest question that we need to ask ourselves today, because for many of us, we're rising to the occasion as long as it has everything to do with me and mine and my four and my circle of friends and my influence, and this is mine and this is mine and that is mine. Even in the Message Bible, same passage of scripture, but in the Message Bible, it reads, starting at 17, he said, listen, if you start thinking to yourselves, I did all of this. There's a commercial years ago right when the show, when the TV show would end, it would say, I made this. And for many of us, we have that same mantra. I made this. He said, if you start thinking to yourselves, I did all this, and all by myself, I'm rich. It's all mine. We got the Message Bible now. He said, well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant that he promised to your ancestors as it is today. But if you forget God, your God, and start taking up with other gods, serving and worshiping them, I'm on record right now as giving you firm warning that that will be the end of you. I mean it. Destruction. You'll go to your doom the same as the nation's God, the same as the nation's God is destroying before you. Doom, because you wouldn't obey the voice of the Lord your God.
And I think there's a lot of people who have to really look at this. Well, I don't believe that God gave me the ability to get my wealth. I went to school and I studied, and I just so happened to get a job at. Okay, well, who gave you the capacity to understand everything you were studying?
Who gave you the favor
to actually get the job in the interview? Let's go to another translation. It says, let's look at 18 and 17 in the New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. It says, he did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy.
Mm-hmm.
18 first, remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you the power to be successful. Going back to these atheist churches, the church stood by and we didn't say a whole lot. We have those who are in the religious right, who made some noise, but not because it was the right thing to do, but because it was part of a political agenda, which really has turned a lot of people away from some of the things that need to be done according to the Bible and the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at it, the same people who stand up and make the noise about what's right and wrong are the same ones who are doing the right and the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you making all this noise talking about, this, that, and the other, and then give 2 weeks and you in the news with your hands up in the air saying, I got caught up. So now you got people who say, well, you know what? You can't find nobody But the Bible already let us know that. Mm-hmm. It says there is none righteous, no, not one. Mm-hmm. You know, so the only one that was righteous was Jesus Christ. And if he hadn't been a blemished lamb, then we wouldn't have had the ability to stand up today and say redeemed. That is so interesting because people now want to say, well, you know, he wasn't perfect himself. I can't believe that Jesus would have came and lived this life and died without sinning. And I would tell you that it is that mindset that you have that keeps you believing that God could make a mistake. See, the mistake isn't his. It's decisions that we make that don't pan out the way we want. Mm-hmm. Lead us down the path of sin and degradation. When we get down there, we try to blame God for being there.
Right.
But if you go back to his voice, when he spoke to you and said, don't do this, and you say, ooh, something told me I shouldn't do this, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do it anyhow.
Yep.
Boom, there you go, down the slope, you go sliding. And then at the bottom, you say, Lord, how did I get here? Why are you testing me? No, he's not testing you. Guess it's not him and his test. This is you and the repercussions from your actions. There's a young man that I was speaking to, and as I began to speak to him, he began to say, you know, I go to church, but I have some questions. I have some questions. Why does God allow bad things to happen to people? You know, I've seen some people around me who have had some things happen to them, and I look at it, and I'm trying to, you know, understand why God would, you know, go ahead and do that. When you say that he already knows the end from the beginning, then why didn't he just step in and stop them from making that bad mistake? Why didn't he stop that gunman from going in there and shooting up everybody? Why didn't he keep this person from getting into the relationship or getting a hold to that needle that gave them AIDS? How come he didn't just, you know, if he knew all of this, why didn't he? And I said, listen, you know, God knows all of this, just like he knew, Jesus knew Peter was going to step out of the ship. He also knew that his faith was going to be challenged and that he was going to fail. You notice Jesus, when he said, come, he didn't walk away from him. Mm-hmm. The Bible lets us know that when Peter said, Lord, help me, mm-hmm. you know, immediately the Bible said he reached and got him and lifted him up into the boat.
Yep.
So in other words, that means that Jesus was close enough, knowing what was coming next, that when he called out, he would be there to answer. Yeah. Now, the decision not to trust in him was not on Christ. It was on Peter. You see that? And that's what people want us to do. They want us to, you know, when the heavens open up and God tells me X, Y, and Z, then that's when I'll stop doing what I'm doing because I know then that guy has spoke. Until then, I think people just going to say what they want to say because they just don't want me to do what I want to do. Well, listen, as long as you have that mentality, go on and be yourself. Do what you want to do because God will never violate your choice. But after you get done with your choice, realize that there's a repercussion to your action. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So that means when God tells you no, and you take his no and try to make it a yes, eventually you'll understand why God said no. People in relationships today, knowing that they shouldn't have got into it, but when people was telling them, you need to let that go, they right. was telling everybody, you know, they just hating on us and we're going to love our way through it. Well, guess what? You love your way right into it. And because your flesh was in love and your spirit was going a different direction, your flesh is the one that got you in trouble. We talk about it now that people be thinking with the wrong brain. Amen. Huh? your body says something when your mind should be telling you something else. And when you listen to the wrong one, you'll find yourself in situations. Find yourself in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Huh? Trying to make excuse for how I got here. You got here because your flesh governed your body. Huh? The Spirit of God said don't do something and you try to make the Spirit of God see why this isn't so bad. But you got to understand that God can see way down the road where you can't see. Huh? He sees the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the end from the beginning, he gives us instructions, but he will not violate your choice. So what are we going to do here then? Huh? Obviously, we have to deal with this wealth and this atheist point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, there are so many people that we know who said, I don't go to church anymore. I'm tired of the preacher asking me for money. But they would turn around and get into business and tell people, it take money to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you just give me that building, man? You know, we homies, why don't you just give it to me? Man, if I get that to you, my doors be shut. I can't give away the farm.
Yeah, true.
Okay. So how's the church supposed to support itself? The church cannot support itself without the gifts, the tithes, the offering, the parishioners. And for those, when I was reading this about the atheist churches that are springing up, I really was looking at it and questioning a few things. My wife would tell you there's so many people we've had this conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
Why, if it's all that, why don't y'all just give the money to the poor? Okay, well, why don't you ask the atheist church why they don't just give the money to the poor?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, if it's not about Christ, not about God, then, you know, they got a corner on it that somebody else don't have. I pretty much understand what's going to happen is that they're going to come under scrutiny,
mm-hmm.
just like they put the Church of God under the scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. Even more so.
You know, so they're coming together, forsaking not the assembling of themselves together,
right.
You know, but they're doing so that they can feel good. So they got the music going, they got the dancing going, you know, they got the motivational speakers.
Yep.
And the thing is that they're atheists and there's people who don't know about the difference between atheist and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people are going to be out there saying, it's just like church. Yes, it is. It's mirrored after church, just like the gay marriage is mirrored after church. Lord, help us. We're not understanding the enemy is coming in and doing what he's done before, which is take the things that belong to the children of God and mirror it for his children. He's coming in so that he can take what belongs to us and give it to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so busy trying to get our stuff that we don't even see it.
Ain't seeing nothing. Ain't seeing nothing, Jesus.
Lord, open our eyes. Help us to see. Open our ears so that we can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Open our minds so that we can hear and understand and comprehend what it is you're saying to us, what you're showing us, because the enemy has come in and he's running roughshod all over everything.
Everything.
And without your voice, without your instructions, without your focus for our lives, we don't have anything. Help us to get the chip off our shoulder. We don't have a corner on this. Without you, we don't have anything. Help us to realize that so we'll stop walking around as if we've already arrived. We've already have it. And help us to realize that we need you now more than ever.
Yes.
What do we do here? How do we proceed? Lord, we're preaching the gospel to people who say that they love you, but their lifestyles are so far away from you. Help us. In the name of Jesus. Help us to demonstrate the power of God. Oh God, miracle signs and wonders. We're looking for. We're asking you, move Holy Spirit.
Do it now.
In the name of Jesus. The world needs a sure answer, a sure response. But greater Lord, help us who belong to you, who bear your name. Help us to stand and be ready to demonstrate and defend the gospel of Jesus Christ without fail, without reservation, without hidden agenda. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who are under the sound of my voice. I pray for strength. I pray for focus. I pray for unity. In the name of Jesus. Help us to come back in and walk the walk. Oh God, talk the talk. Live the life. In the name of Jesus. The world's seen the underside, the underbelly. They're discouraged. There's a lot of Christians that are discouraged. Mm-hmm. Help us, Lord, to understand that this isn't about us. Mm-hmm. It's about you. So that we get ourselves together to demonstrate your power, your majesty, your glory in the earth. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for those under the sound of my voice. I pray for those who are not saved. Lord, if they simply will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. Oh God, for those that will pray that prayer. And for each one that prays that prayer, Lord, lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church where they can be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you called them to do. Lord, I pray and ask you to help us now. There are things that we have before you. Help us, Lord, to walk it out and demonstrate your truth, your power, your majesty.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Listen, I want you to go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll find out more about us. I'm praying that you will become a vision partner with us. What is a vision partner? A vision partner is one that helps us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. You've heard us talk about our sons and daughters, our schools and orphanages that are around the world. As we come into this holiday season, a lot of them need your help. We have orphanages in Kenya, orphanages in Uganda, and they do outreach services around this time of the year so that they can help those who are poor, those who are vulnerable children. You understand over in Africa that the AIDS epidemic has taken out so many parents. So you have children and widows who are there who don't have support. They don't have protection.
Mm-hmm.
So that when people come in, no one speaks up for them and they are vulnerable. This is an opportunity for you to show your Christian love, this opportunity for you to show the compassion of Christ during this holiday season. I do believe that Bishop Wandera will be doing his program in December, the latter part, and Bishop Joe Shiendu will be doing the first part of December. So we have some time to raise a little bit of revenue so we can help them to do the work of spreading the name of Jesus Christ around Africa. Amen. So we're praying that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And we want to remind you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.